They're learning. They're going to get there. They're learning. Good to see everybody this morning. Good to be in the house of the Lord. And if everybody'd lay down on the bench, I could go away and say we had a full house, you know. Well, I don't know if you could fill it up or not. You're going to have to pray for all these people that's out of church, but we know where a lot of them are. You know, we counted up this morning about 18 or 20 that or more that's out on vacation. But, hey, we're here, and we'll worship and praise the Lord. I've always said, and, you know, I hold by this, that some as good of meetings as I ever been in my life, we could have met in the phone booth, shut the door. You know, as long as God's in it, you know, two or more in my name, that's what it talks about. So I'm not going to spend any time on that. That's one of my least worries in the world. I don't know. Do y'all understand that? One of my least worries in the world. My job is keep the doors, the hinges oiled so the doors open and preach the word when they come in. And I can't be responsible for who does or who don't come in, you know. But anyway, we'll go to the Word of God this morning and just worship and praise Him. I tell you what, had a house full here yesterday, standing around the walls. I don't know, just a bunch of people for the wedding. And I thought it went well. We got them married anyway. It's a done deal. I done signed the paper down there. You know, all I got to do is turn it in Monday. And it'll get registered in the courthouse, but pray for a young, new family, brand new family. Pray for them. Another wedding coming up pretty soon. And pray for all those folks traveling. We got people flying. We got people driving old cars all over the country. And, you know, I don't know which is more dangerous, but Melvin and them made it back. I don't know about the rest of them. But pray for all those that's out and about. And continue to pray for the church. I know a lot of times people come in, they'll look around, and the number will be short, and they'll get discouraged. Well, I suggest don't do that. Don't do that. We're here. Let's worship and praise the Lord. I want to look at some scripture this morning out of the book of St. John, chapter 1. We're going to talk about Jesus this morning. You know, that's one of the most important subjects that we can look to. And, you know, He supplies us something by making a sacrifice. And the grace of God, He supplies us something that lasts eternal. That's one of the few things that is eternal in life. Anything else that you can see or touch or taste or feel, it's going to go away or change one day. The Word of God's going to remain an eternal life. And, you know, other than that, so we need to look about importance about understanding Christ Jesus, the Son of God. Now, He did a work for us in St. John chapter 1. It's where we're going to go just in a minute. Now, I want you to think about the illustration made here when, you know, thinking back Exodus chapter 33 and verse 20, Moses asked God to see His glory, and God said, well, you can't see my face and live. He said, but I will show you my glory. And He made arrangements and parts. And so I got thinking about what part can we see of God's power this day and time. And I began thinking about this the other day, and I thought, well, you know, we can see the power of God. You know, I see the power of God demonstrated all the time. The power of God is what holds these worlds in orbit. You know, God's power is what fills this earth with air to breathe. God's power controls so many things, and you can't look outside, you can't look around without, I think, seeing a demonstration of the power of God. And then I believe we can see the love of God. Now, that's usually demonstrated by people toward people. You know, I see God's love demonstrated that somebody's concerned. Have you ever thought about when you pray for somebody, when you are concerned enough that you go to God for them in prayer, that's a demonstration of love. And I see that quite often in this church, that I see the love of God. And then I thought about a lot of times I see the glory of God. Now, you know, I'm talking about you just see it overwhelming and see what God is doing in a community or God's doing in a situation, a problem. You see what God's doing in this world, and I believe that's how we see the glory of God. And then I got thinking about we can see the power of Christ also. Now let's talk about that just a little bit, the power of Jesus. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, these three agree in one. And so we're talking about God in the form of Christ, came to this world, left the beauties of heaven, came down to give us an example. So in St. John, in chapter 1, verse 1, it said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now I want you to notice this. It said in the beginning, I don't know where you'd go back to the beginning. God always was, God always will be. And the same be with Jesus. So when we start looking at this in verse 2, it said the same was in the beginning with God. And so it gives us the experience and the knowledge and understanding that He was with the Father, and He left the presence of heaven and the presence of God and came to this earth. Verse 3, all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Anything you can see, hear, touch, taste, Jesus made it. Now, I want you to think about that just for a few minutes. I don't believe we give Jesus all the credit that He deserves for making a glorious, beautiful world. I don't believe we give Jesus all the credit He deserves for making these beautiful children that walked down a few minutes ago. It said anything that was made, Jesus made it. So this young child back here, guess what? That's a product of Jesus. All these beautiful faces in this house is product of Jesus. It said all things made. It didn't say this was made and that. It said all things were made. So anything we experience in life, we have to give Jesus credit. It said, and within Him, without Him was not anything made that was made. And so all creation through Him. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. Now we're getting down to the important part. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. They didn't understand. They mistook it. And I get thinking so oftentimes about this darkness that's still in this world today, but that light of Jesus is greater than that. And that light of Jesus is still shining. Now, we have this situation with Jesus, and you're thinking, well, He died on the cross of Calvary. Amen. He died on the cross of Calvary. I want you to think about it. Although He was crucified and died on the cross of Calvary, He paid the sin debt for everybody, for the whole world, paying the sin debt. He is now resurrected and alive forevermore. And so we go back to this Word. In the first verse, it said, in the beginning was the Word. And so you say, you look and see Jesus always was. And I'm going to tell you, He always will be. Jesus always was and always will be. And a lot of times we don't think about that, and we're in a world of darkness that don't comprehend that. And so when we come down to that point, knowing Jesus always was, Jesus always will be, and then over in St. John, I think it's chapter 12, and verse 32, I believe is where it's at. I'll just tell you what it says. It said, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. Now, understanding this word of God is sure. This word of God will not fail. And Jesus said, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. Now, we know by God's word, and we have the record that Jesus was lifted up between the earth and the heavens on the cross of Calvary. And so from that point on, there was a drawing power unto all men. That Jesus is going to draw all men. They're all going to have a desire. Everybody is going to deal with Jesus at some time or another in their life. Now, that's good news to me as a preacher, to know that Jesus is going to deal with everybody at some time. And I think a lot of times about this, that they're going to have to deal with Jesus and accept or deny Him, one of the two. There's no in between. When we deal with Jesus, it'll either be that you believe that He's the Son of God and the Savior of the world, or it's going to be that you've denied the power and the Word of God and don't accept Him. Going to deal with everybody. You got a loved one that don't know Jesus, sooner or later is going to deal with Him. One way or the other, Because he said, I'll draw all men unto me. And so there's going to be a time in their life that they either will accept or they will have to deny. And a lot of people said, well, no, I'm just going to be in the middle. I'm not going to do either one. That's not according to the Word of God. In St. John chapter 3 and verse 16, let me start at 16. It said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Now, those first two verses, 16 and 17, I'm telling you, that's good news as we're concerned about people receiving Jesus Christ as Savior, because we see he didn't come to condemn people. He came to save people. And so now we understand, looking back, that everybody's going to deal with him at some time, because everybody is drawn to him at one time or another in their life. And I get thinking about this, and a lot of people say, well, I'm going to stand in the middle. I'm not going to believe, and I'm not going to not believe. Well, one way or the other, you have to deal with Jesus. You're either going to be a believer or not. In verse 18, it said, he that believeth on him is not condemned. If you were standing up here and I was sitting back there and you read that, I'd probably shout. It may not affect y'all the way it affects me, but to know that I'm not condemned because I believe. Now, I'm telling you, you know, we don't give Jesus the credit that he deserved. I'm talking about when this verse says that, it said, he that believeth on him is not condemned. And I'll stop right there in the middle of the verse. And I'm talking about that ought to be shouting ground for a lot of people to know that because they believed on the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they're not condemned. I was condemned to die. I was condemned to hell. And then Jesus said, because of me. And we need to give credit to Jesus for the power that he demonstrates on this earth to rescue us from this condemnation that we all stood in at one time. Now, I can say that safely because according to the Word of God, before you can be saved, you've got to be lost. So at one time or another, everybody in this congregation, everybody in this house, at one time or another was lost. And I pray that you're not still in that position or condition, that you've received Jesus Christ and received this pardon. Not condemned. Not condemned. I've got a lot to be thankful to Jesus for. It said, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Do y'all see that? He that believeth not is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So when are people going to be condemned about not believing? They're already. It's already taken place. This is past tense. It don't say that they will be condemned later. And I talk to a lot of people, say, well, you know, I think I'll be all right for a while. I'm going to receive Jesus when it's convenient for me or when I get ready. I'm going to tell you that's a lie from the devil. Those people are already condemned. And what are they condemned to? Eternal death and hell. Eternal death and hell. A lot of people don't want to hear that about their loved ones and their kinfolks and their children or their parents. However it might be, but that's what the condemnation is, that they're condemned to eternal death and the damnation of hell. And so it's not going to happen, it's already happened. They're already condemned. When I think about the power demonstrated by Jesus, said he didn't come to condemn the world, came to save us. Boy, I'm proud of that, aren't y'all? That's good news to me. When you think about what God has done and the work Jesus did on the cross, you think about the work Jesus did and that he created all things, created by him, and I believe that. I don't have a problem. God's word said it. I believe it. He created everything. You can't see it, taste it, touch it, hear it, smell it, that God didn't, Jesus didn't create it. And that continues. All of us. And so now we come down to that point that Jesus is drawing and everybody's got to deal with Jesus one day or another. Everybody's going to have an opportunity for salvation. It's God's will that all be saved. For all come to the knowledge of the truth and understanding Jesus Christ and receive salvation. That's God's will. And then we get the opportunity and a chance. Think so oftentimes, the chances that God gives. Over in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20, if you'll turn over there with me just for a few minutes, I want to read a verse. Now, we're talking about Jesus' calling. We're talking about God's desire for your life. I hope everybody here is saved. I don't know. I can't answer for everybody. I can answer for me. And I can tell you, because Jesus Christ came into my life, I'm saved. But about your life, I can't tell. But I want you to know that drawing power is still evident today. It's not going to go away. It's not going to change. If you receive Jesus Christ, you're not condemned. If you haven't, you're condemned already. And that's condemned to die eternal death. In Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Behold, I stand at the door. It's talking about Jesus. Jesus standing at the door knocking. And I thought about the knock that goes on here. I thought about the knock that goes on over this whole world. All the doors that he stands and knocks. He said, if any man will hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. Now, we need this understanding that Jesus has got a desire to come in, and it said partaking a meal with you. You know, that's some of the closest fellowship you ever have is when you sit at a meal with somebody. That you sit beside them at the table and they share what they have with you, or you share what you have with them. Whichever way it may go, that don't matter. But I thought about the love of God demonstrated through the power of Jesus when he said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And I'm so thankful as a pastor, as a preacher, that I'm not in this for myself. I'm telling you, I might get to talk to a few people, but Jesus is knocking on everybody's door. He knocks on all of them. You got loved ones, there's hope. You got somebody not right with God, don't know the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I'm telling you, he's going to knock on their door. He's going to give them an opportunity to invite him in. He won't force his way. He's not coming in uninvited. It'll be an invitation. It said, if he'll open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. And everybody's got that opportunity. I think I'm going to stop right there. I believe the message today is Jesus loves you enough to die for you. That's what he did. I'm so glad when he comes back, there won't be a cross for him. I'm hoping there's a bright, shining bride waiting on him. Like Jake said this morning, one he can be proud of. Y'all stand, we're going to be dismissed.